Let us offer our consecration to the Lord. Lord, we offer up to you this day, and we ask that we glorify your name in all we do. We ask that we may serve you. We ask that we may love you. We ask that we may honor you. And we ask that all we do leads us closer to you, especially as we end this liturgical year and we open ourselves to a whole new way of living and glorifying your name. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Well, today is Friday. It is the last weekday of the liturgical year. And of course, on Sunday comes Advent, actually starting tomorrow at sundown, comes Advent. And we look forward to the coming of the Lord the second time as we focus on the Lord coming the first time. So our focus will still be on preparing for the coming of the Lord as it has been for the past several weeks in this end of the liturgical year. But it's a little bit of a different focus. And so we look at that from that perspective. It's a more positive focus. But we are still focused on those end times. And our readings today come again from Daniel. Daniel has some fascinating stories, as you know. And it's got some powerful stories about his life with the king, but it's also got some apocalyptic stories, which are those stories similar to the book of Revelation, also known as the Apocalypse. By the way, in English, we call it the book of Revelation. In the Latin languages of at least Spanish and Portuguese, I don't know about French or Romanian or Italian, but I know from my experience in Spanish and Portuguese, it's called either La or El or O Apocalipsis, which means obviously the apocalypse. So apocalyptic literature is that intense literature you can see in the book of Revelation and obviously in Daniel and others that reflect on the end of the world. And it's very symbolic. It's usually something that would sound like you'd see in a fantasy novel where, you know, a science fiction fantasy. And you see this great destruction, but this great also victory, and you see this combination of both. And so in Daniel's story, we see that. We see these images come and destroy, but then the Son of Man comes, and he becomes the king who destroys the enemies of God, and he also brings love and justice and truth in his new kingdom. And so we look at that, and a lot of people get really focused on what we would call hell, because that's what it's called. But a lot of people get focused on that. And, you know, there are always these powerful stories of the fact that very few people will be saved. There's this horrible story that's running around. No, it's what is known as, if it is even true at all, but it's what is known as personal revelation. And you don't have to believe personal revelation. It's not part of true revelation, but you can believe it if you want. It's up to you. And the church has different ways of discerning certain forms of revelation. But even if the church says you can believe this, doesn't mean you have to. You never have to believe personal revelation. But you can if you want, but you always want to listen to the discernment of the church. Because there are people that will tell these stories and say, I saw God and God told me X, Y, and Z. Well, that doesn't mean anything, because everything we know to be true comes to us from Scripture. And as Catholics, we also believe in tradition. So we believe in Scripture and tradition. The evangelicals believe in just Scripture, where we believe in Scripture and tradition, which we would call the combination today, we would call the fruit of the magisterium, which is a Latin word meaning teacher. So anyway, there's this horrible story of this saint who goes up to heaven, or this holy man who comes up to heaven, and he comes down after a couple days, and he says, I was up in heaven, and out of all the people in our village, only three are going to heaven. You, which would be interesting if he said someone, you're going to heaven before he dies. But anyway, you, me, and one other person, Billy Joe, I don't know. And, and everyone else is going to hell. And people use that story to say, you know, you better prepare because your chances are you're going to hell. Well, how are you going to teach the mercy of God with that? Now, there are others that will complain on the other side that message that you don't have to worry about that. Virtually everyone is going to heaven is a whole different story. And they say, well, that doesn't make sense either, because that's not what Jesus taught, that virtually everyone is going to heaven. But then that and that also leaves people to be focused one way or the other. But there is a powerful truth coming out of Father Paulo Ricardo Acevedo Jr., who is a great preacher from Brazil. And he teaches, you know, Jesus never gave a number. He never said so many people. He said, you walk the narrow path. You work your way to heaven. Well, work your way isn't the right term, but you know what I'm saying. You seek the way of the Lord. You follow Christ. He never gave a number. And so he actually calls those two examples I show, and the one that virtually no one's being saved and one that's virtually everyone's being saved, are two really, I think he uses the word, maybe I'm wrong, but it's translation anyway from his original Portuguese, two extreme positions, extreme right and extreme left, or extreme one way or the other is a better way to put it. And he said, no, he never gave a number. He said, you. So the focus is not on how many people are being saved. The focus is on you. And that's the key. And so we look at that and we understand that. Now, when we see that this Son of Man takes over and he causes great destruction and casts many into, or cast those into the fires of destruction. Who is he casting into the fires of destruction? The people who cause misery for the people seeking to be holy. We'll talk more on the other side of the break. You're listening to St. Anthony Overnight from St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WEZE 590 AM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. We'll be right back right after this. In the Catholic Church, December 8th is the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. This is the patronal feast of the United States. As you know, the purpose of this program is to help listeners grow in holiness and closer to Christ. Please, therefore, consider a rosary novena in preparation for our patronal feast. The intention of these 9 days is that we may grow holier and we may grow a holier family, parish, and church. We want to become signs of Christ's love in all we do. Therefore, starting on November 30th, please begin a rosary novena. Also consider some self-denial as well during these days, such as do not use social media, or even fast from desserts, or some other decision. If possible, pray your rosary in the church in front of the tabernacle or in front of a live-streamed Eucharistic adoration online at home. Let us pray that we may grow in holiness as we prepare for the patronal feast of the Immaculate Conception on December 8th. And don't forget our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can check out our website. You can check out the archives of the show. You can join our Substack newsletter. You can read the blog. Both of those really offer the homily. And you can do all kinds of things over there at Catholic Audio. You can go to shopping. You can do all kinds of things over there at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. Well, we are looking at the whole point of the end times, and our call is to seek holiness. Remember what we're called to do. We talked a couple weeks ago, in my homily on the afternoon show, about we're called to be those with insight who shine like the stars in the sky, and that light means the wisdom of God. So we're called to be filled with wisdom. And who are those who are destroyed? Who are those who are cast in the fire? Those who have no interest in wisdom, they only seek a society that benefits themselves, only themselves, and those are the ones that will be cast into the hellfire because that's all they seek. So what do they seek? They seek the destruction of the holy people. And let's put something really simple. Can those two groups of people live together? Well, the answer obviously is no. So the real question whether or not hell is something of hellfire is there are various questions about that in all the Christian religions. Some will tell you that there is no hell. Others will tell you that, as I talked earlier, most people will go to hell. Those are two extreme versions. And really what we understand is hell is a place where people go, where souls go is a better place to put it. Souls go that have rejected God. They want nothing to do with the kingdom of God. So therefore, who is their God? They are their God. You know, or you, there are Some that make the devil their God, but essentially it's the devil so that he benefits them. So they are their own God. Remember that temptation. You will be like gods. What is the first commandment prohibit? Idolatry. Any other God but God. And why? Because when we seek the Lord and we seek his true holiness, the true holiness that we find from him, we become people of justice and love and peace. If we're not people of justice and love and peace, then that says we are not who God wants us to be. And we have to look at that, we have to change that, and we have to draw closer to Christ. So here's one of the things I think that's important for you to comprehend, that's important for you to know, is that as we are on this very last day of the liturgical year, the very last working day, rather, of the liturgical year, very last full day as well, because tomorrow the liturgical year starts at sundown. We look at what that means, that the Lord is calling us to be people of holiness. And there are those who will choose, they choose never to be people of holiness. They want to only be people of a form of selfishness that is just very self-centered. And so we look at that, we see that radical difference, and we understand that, and we seek to people to be people of holiness. And that holiness leads us to be like those with the insight that shines in the sky, in like shines like the stars in the sky. That's what we're called to be. And the only way we can do that is if we ask the Lord to make us holy, we seek to grow in holiness, and we pray. Prayer, if you have not resolved to do anything this liturgical year, this coming liturgical year, and you do not pray, that's what you need to resolve. You say, well, I want to give up this. I want to change this. No, pray first. All of that will come. Pray first. Make sure you build into your day a specific time of prayer that meets your responsibilities in your home. If you're a parent, you need to pray to know how to take care of your family well, and to know how to, in all ways, economically and spiritually and physically and everything else. And if you are single and, you know, you have to learn how to pray to know how to live that vocation. If you are a priest or religious or even a bishop, you have to know how to pray to take care of that vocation. You have to be people of prayer. And when we are people of prayer, we are preparing for that time that we encounter Christ, but we have to be people of praying and really come and plumb the depths of your prayer. If you enjoy what you're listening to here, please let people know and share the word and tell people, hey, this is what I heard on the radio this morning. In the meantime, have yourself a blessed day, and we will see you in the new liturgical year. In Cristo vivimos.